Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, I'm Gavin Emmett, and this is the BT Sport MotoGP podcast. Today, I'm joined by Julian Ryder and Neil Hodgson here in Phillip Island ahead of round 16 of the championship. We've got our champion, finally, for 2016. Mark Marquez, of course, last time out in Japan. And boys, what I want to know is just how he did it this season.
Well, everybody else wants to know that as well. I mean, he's just ridiculous, isn't he? He's incredibly talented. How he rides as well, the entertainment value of how loose he rides a motorcycle. Let's not forget, at the start of the season, certainly pre-season testing, on a bike that clearly doesn't work, Honda was in all sorts of trouble, and he's managed to convert that into winning the championship with three rounds to go, Julian.
I was searching for the image of this season, and what came to me and keeps coming into my mind is that save at Assen, when he locked the front going into turn one and left a 20-yard black line shaped like a question mark. I cannot get that out of my mind. How can you do that on a motorbike?
Yeah, well, no one knows.
that's a world champion speaking, folks.
And that's the key, isn't it, for him? Because of the way the Honda's working, it's about being able to brake deeper, further into the corner than anyone seems to have ever managed before.
Yeah, he attacks the corners like no one I've ever seen. I mean, we talk about the Stoner era of his ability and what he did on the motorcycle. It's almost like Mark's just gone up a notch. Mm. That fraction, and rides even looser, even more aggressive, but he's consistent as well with it. You know, normally when you see riders ride like that, the consistency is usually all over the place.
Because we haven't seen an all-action Marquez this year. He has changed. Have you enjoyed seeing the new Marquez in inverted commas?
Yes, I think he's let the inner chimp out a couple of times, like at Silverstone. Mm. I like what he said at the press conference after Japan last week, that his management kept telling him Aragon is coming while he was going through. He hadn't won a dry race since Texas.
Could well be, yeah.
Don't worry, Mark. Aragon is coming. Aragon is coming. And we know what they meant, don't we?
And he had a relatively poor run for him where he had a few fourth places, yeah. Didn't he? He was off the podium for the first time in his career for, was it four races?
Yeah, it was. He hadn't had a first or second in four races.
That was it. Yeah, yeah. Which is hard to believe. To sum up how successful his MotoGP career has been.
Yeah. And he started the year saying, there is a new Marquez. I've learned from everything. And Le Mans really was the wake-up call,
again,
wasn't it?
Again, this was the other significant thing he said in the post-Japan press conference, that he realised that crash in Le Mans and getting back on to finish 13th and actually brought home what the reality was of his situation.
He's the only rider across the classes to have scored points in every race. And in that race, even though he crashed, he still got the 3 points, which might not be significant, but it's the 3 points that have taken him pretty much across the threshold. That's
worth repeating, Gav, slowly. He's the only rider across all classes to have scored in every race.
What we saw last year, the rider we saw last year, the, you know, all out, almost, he made some real scoreboy errors, didn't he? At times it was embarrassing, actually, last year.
Catalunya?
Yeah, was embarrassing. I remember Aragon was embarrassing as well. And I didn't believe, at the start of this season, I genuinely did not believe what he was saying. When he was saying, I've changed and I'm going to be a different rider,
in the first three races.
Yeah.
So the fact that he's done it, that he has changed, does that say more about him, about his talent, about his persona as a champion? Does it make him more of a champion, more special talent?
It does, because I think the hardest thing for him to control is that you know, he's an out-and-out aggressive winner, and he's managed to somehow get a hold of that and control it.
So he's got three races now where he can let himself off the lead.
Are we going to see the old man? Because you did that interview with him, didn't you, at the end of the race in Japan. It was brilliant. I loved it. This evil smile came across.
It was.
It wasn't evil, let's admit it. It was
cheeky.
Just this joyous smile, wasn't it? Of, yes, the old Marcus is coming out. We've got to look forward to that, especially someone like Phillip Island.
Yeah, we are in for some entertainment these last three rounds.
And he's still only 23 years old. He's the most successful 23-year-old. 5 world championships to his name. Beats Rossi to that, beats Hailwood. And he probably should be 6 times world champion, because that year when he lost out to Stefan Bradl, he was going to win if he hadn't have hurt himself. He didn't. But, you know, he's...
Yeah, ifs and buts, Gav, I agree. But when you were talking about a bloke who is breaking records set by Mike Hailwood and Valentino Rossi...
Yeah, we're not just hyping this up. They are the facts that speak for themselves.
To quote Nicky Hayden, I didn't just beat the kid round the corner.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, it's incredible. He's got the same amount of MotoGP titles now as Lorenzo, you know, and he's 23 years old. It's amazing. Well, he's got more than Casey Stoner.
Yeah.
He's more MotoGP titles than Casey Stoner already. Yeah. What's he going to do? Really, where's this end?
Well, anything, it's a matter of motivation, surely.
Which at the moment is not even a question.
Not even near.
The bag is overflowing with motivation. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
So, well, let's hear what Marquez had to say here at Phillip Island on the day before the Australian Grand Prix. So, Mark, 5 world championships down. So I'll just assume the 5 beers on Sunday night then.
5 and a little bit more. No. It was a nice celebration, of course. We enjoyed with the team, because also they were like extra motivated. They were really happy, and we celebrated well. But now already in Phillip Island, and here you must be concentrated, because the speed is really high.
I remember the race here last year, which many people say is one of the best of the last few years. Did you enjoy it here last year, 1 year ago?
Yeah, I enjoyed a lot last year here, because it was one of the best. Many overtakes with me, Valentino, Giannone, Jorge, and in the end we won. We take the 25 points, and it was a really nice Sunday too.
When you spoke to Neil after the race in Japan, you promised us that the old Mark would be back. That you know, you can leave the brain on one side again, and now you start to ride like we know you love to ride. Is that still the case? Still the plan?
Still the plan, but Emilio, my manager, start to but be careful, because in the end, your body is your body. But you know, now you feel quite comfortable, so. We will try, but this doesn't mean that you will win. In the end, I will try to push, but of course I want to finish the races too, if it's possible, in the podium every race, and why not? Some victory, of course, we will try.
And it's going to be a difficult weekend, isn't it? Because it looks like some rain we're going to have over the weekend at some point. It's going to be cold as well. Michelin have brought a lot of tyres to try and deal with the track surface and the temperatures. It's hard work, isn't it, at Phillip Island?
Yeah, it's a really hard work, because we test on winter time here on the pre-season, but here was summer time, and it was really good test for us, but now it's completely different. Looks like the forecast also here is unstable. Tomorrow, Friday, will be rain. We will see. Also, we have many different tires, asymmetric tires in the front, so it's something that we must understand on the bike and. Like, try to be normal weekend and be ready on Sunday.
I can hear the throat a little bit. Have you had lots of interviews to do, lots of media appointments?
It's a party plus the interviews plus a little bit cold here. Still, my voice is not perfect.
It's not quite ready there, but you'll be for the rest of the weekend. Do you expect a similar battle to last year?
I expect a similar battle, why not? Because Jorge and Valentino, they are fighting for the second place of the championship, and they will be there. Then I think Viñales will be strong here, already in winter time. And Giannone is not here this year, but...
The seagulls are happy.
yes, of course. But we will see how we can fight. But if we can be there in front, will be already a nice thing.
And obviously, the World Championship, when it came, was a surprise, in a way. We thought it was going to be coming to you. So what does it feel like to have it in the pocket?
It was a great surprise, of course, and a big, big surprise, because nobody expected on Sunday, even me, because I didn't feel extra nervous. I just feel another race. But yeah, of course, makes you happy. But also, it's a strange feeling because when you won the championship, it looks like this guy now needs to be extra motivated. But your body also makes like shh, and cool down, and I feel more relaxed. But we will try to be same mark and in some points even taking a little bit more risk.
That's what we are looking forward to seeing so much. Mark, have a great weekend and you should enjoy it just all weekend. More parties. That's the best way to do it.
Okay, we do a great race on Sunday and then Sunday night another one. Come
right,
on.
We'll see you there. Mark, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
So hopefully we will see the new Marc Márquez here this weekend in Australia. Conversely, at Yamaha, an absolute disaster in Motegi. Quick pop quiz. When was the last time Rossi and Lorenzo crashed out of a wet or dry race in the same race together?
I have not got a clue. Go on.
Nope, I've got
you
a clue.
You know, Gav.
Yeah.
Go on.
Never.
Wow, there you go. I feel better now.
So do I.
It hasn't happened, wet or dry.
Wow.
That they have both crashed out together. They are the most consistent riders in the World Championship. And that's why we thought this championship still had legs in it, still had a chance to go down to the wire. What happened in Japan?
What's happened since Catalonia? Yamaha have not won a race since Catalonia.
So why is that? What do we put it down to?
I don't look at me. You're looking at me now. I have no idea.
Well,
I
the conspiracy theorists are going for tyres and Michelin's being...
We were talking at the start of the season that was this was really made for them, weren't we?
Absolutely. And now, of course, because conspiracy theorists...
got their tinfoil hats on.
Well, yes. I don't understand the nature of evidence. But hey, you know, they're saying that the tyres now suit the Honda. But Jorge hated the tyres he had at the start of the year and liked the new tyres, unless I'm much mistaken.
Yeah, I don't believe any of that side of it. I mean, all the riders you speak to are still learning these tyres because they are changing. We've got different tyres this weekend again. Mm. Yeah. So who are they going to suit? I mean, I don't believe any of that. The fact that they've not won since Barcelona and we're here every weekend, I didn't even realise that was the fact. And that is hard to really comprehend.
I had to check the paperwork a couple of times.
And we need to find out what's
been
happening.
I think it's the most barren run for Yamaha since Rossi joined
them. That's
back in 2004. That's a long time for a factory that reinvented itself, really, with Rossi, because you had a few fallow years, didn't you, since Wayne Rainey winning the championship.
A lot of fallow years.
So that was even with Biaggi there was some success, but never quite reaching championship level. It became the bike to be on, Yamaha. And now, over the last few races, with arguably two of the best riders of all time on board, it hasn't been working. Rossi... Was it a case of win it or bin it? He had to win, didn't he? He was all out in Japan.
He said himself that it wasn't about the fight with Jorge for second or top Yamaha, however you want to put it. It was about trying to beat Marquez. And, you know, yes, he's human. He made the same mistake as lots of other guys.
On turn 10, on that corner, caught a lot of people.
Maybe not even a mistake, Neil, just caught out by circumstances.
Yeah, so many people crashed there this weekend. Marc Márquez crashed on that corner this weekend in one of the free practice sessions. It was easy to crash. More of a surprise for me was when Lorenzo went down at that point in the race.
He dug in, hadn't he? And he had such a horrible Saturday. He was putting in a sterling performance, bearing in mind he was the only one chasing Mark at that
And he
point,
was holding Dovi and Maverick Vinales.
He probably was going to get to the line, wasn't he?
I think so, because the gap never really came down. Anytime Dovi closed it, Jorge
responded. Got to half a second and then never even looked like Dovi couldn't show him a wheel. So he unfortunately then it got away from
at
him.
Turn
was that
nine.
What we put in that one down to
it was also, if you just look back at that weekend, how many crashes did we see? It was a ridiculous amount of crashes, all front enders, lots of them as well. And that corner where he crashed, turn nine, so many people crashed there.
Different from turn 10, what this was, a getting just touching the throttle,
yeah, look, like as soon as the
weight
came
off,
it just went. So just a very strange weekend all round.
We talk about them here though. Somewhere around here. I remember in the stony years, Lorenzo was peerless. Rossi is the most successful rider around Phillip Island. You've mentioned briefly the tyres, but what do we think this weekend of Valentino and Jorge?
The tyres, Michelin are bringing brand new compounds.
So they tested them at Brno, didn't they? I've heard. These are the ones they tested at Brno specifically for here. If
front, so we're talking, or rears, or both?
Certainly the front.
Right, okay. Right. Well, before we discuss what's going to happen this weekend, shall we talk about weather?
Because I think we need to.
You look at the forecast, what's it saying, Gav? It's all
95% chance of rain tomorrow and heavy rain. It could carry on until Saturday, maybe in the morning, but it looks like from then bit brighter, but it's going to be cold.
Yeah.
Once the rain's been here, it freshens up. We've got a beautiful day here on Thursday in Phillip Island. But when the wind picks up and it turns and it comes off the Bass Strait, it comes from the south, from Tasmania way, it's a chilly wind, that one, because the next stop after that's Antarctica.
Yeah. You know. And we've had some cold rounds this year. Silverstone springs to mind. Can you remember what happened there? I mean, the tyres appear to give the riders not a lot of feeling, especially the front, and there's lots of crashing. We see a lot of riders crashing on outlaps. I've got a horrible feeling if it is like it looks like it's going to be relatively cold, mixed weather, we're going to see a lot of crashes because they have to bring the range of compounds are usually on the harder, stronger side because this track is an anti-clockwise track. There's so many left-hand corners and it abuses tyres. If you remember how many years ago when they had to do the flag-to-flag race because Bridgestone brought a tyre that just couldn't
the,
do
the
more
new
than...
surface ripped it to shreds.
Because generally, the right-hand corners here, apart from turn one, you've got your Honda hairpin, your MG, they're tight, slow corners, whereas the left, your Southern Loop, you're coming through Siberia, and more than anything, Lukey Heights, and then the last corner, the big, long final
That's the one that destroys
corner.
Them, the last corner, because it goes, the last corner goes on for something like 20 seconds,
yeah.
You know, and it's just accelerating, going up through the gearbox from second, well, all the way to a sixth down the straight, but you know, to fifth on the exit of the corner. So yeah, it's really tough for Michelin boys this weekend.
Yeah, let's hear what the two Yamaha riders had to say before the Australian Grand Prix.
Valentino, I'm sure it was a massive disappointment in Japan that the championship finally went the way of Mark. So what's the feeling coming here now to Phillip Island, a track that you love so much, you've had so much success at over the years?
Yes, great shame for the mistake in Motegi, because I was competitive, I was strong, I can fight, I can do a good race, but unfortunately I have to go at home with zero. But the good thing is I have another race here, straight away, because it's a fantastic place. With the weather of today, is I think the most special and particular racetrack of the season. Looks like the forecast, the weather is not fantastic, but I hope that that's coming better, because it's always great in Phillip Island, and it's good to come back on the bike and try to fight, try to make a good race.
Yeah, and with that, we know there's a lot of problems with the cold and the tyres and all that kind of thing, but what's the motivation for you now, for these final three races? What's spurring you on to the end of the season?
Arrive at the end of the three races, take points, and fight for the podium in the three occasions. Three very different weekend here with the weather, Malaysia, new asphalt, fantastic track, but especially a great challenge because it's the tougher race of the season. It's very hot, it's very difficult, and also very important in Valencia, because it's usually is not my favorite track, so try to arrive on the podium there, and after we see.
All the best for the last three, Valentino.
Thank you.
Ciao. Jorge, tough weekend last time out with a big crash, and also we've not seen a Yamaha win since Barcelona, which is hard to believe. What do you think? Why is that?
Well, luckily for us, the change from Bridgestone to Michelin at the beginning was a little advantage to us, no? I don't know why, some way, somehow, we were able to take the best performance of the Michelin quickly and the new electronic. And on the Suzuki, especially they struggle with the electronic, no? Little by little they improve, they have a big improvement, while we start in a very high level, but we didn't improve so much. Yeah. So that's why they catch us, and now Honda and Suzuki, they are very competitive. And Ducati in some places are the stronger one, in some places they struggle. So finally it's difficult for us with so many competencies and so many riders with good bikes to be able to make the difference like last year or the beginning of the season.
And last year we saw you have a fantastic race here, just pipped at the end by Mark. It's a great track, you must be looking forward to this weekend.
It's an unbelievable track when the conditions are perfect. No? When there is sunny, there is no wind. It's amazing to ride here. It's so wonderful and so fluid, so smooth, and so fast. When it's cold or windy, or rainy, it's very complicated, dangerous, and you have to be careful. So let's see. It looks like it's going to be like that tomorrow, so not good predictions, but you never know what can happen, what can you feel on the bike.
Thanks for talking to us, Jorge. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
So we go on to this weekend's race. No Andrea Iannone again. Now, there's a lot of rumbling around the paddock at the moment. He's going to be replaced by Hector Barber and Mike Jones stepping into his seat. But where is Iannone. What's going on there? Well, is something more than injury here? Or
you're our Spanish reader. What was that story in La Marca saying?
Yeah, that the team aren't happy with him at the moment. That, you know, he told them late, and there's something about, you know, the fact he's leaving at the end of the year. It's all a little bit tense. Well, the seagull population of Phillip Island will be happy, won't they? Gavin the Seagull, God rest his soul. I don't know why they dubbed him Gavin. I took it,
it was
quite, personally.
Quite chubby. very, very slow reactions, clearly.
And a Yorkshire accent.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. And he liked fish and chips.
Sorry, Gavin.
Because they all do, seagulls. Having had them nicked out of my hand in London, no pier, once upon a time by a flock of seagulls, I can tell you they love the fish and chips.
Dreadful
so do Yorkshiremen.
Gav, let it go. Let it go.
I can't.
Stressed about that. If you take food off Gavin, though, you know what it's like, Jules. He never forgets.
The whole of North Wales has never been forgiven.
Well, Suzuki, though, be worried about having signed Andrea.
Well, I mean, they'll have mixed feelings. If anyone, I mean, like what Andrea's doing now, I mean, it's very unprofessional. Well, we are speculating, so let's just say.
Yeah.
But
it's only what we're being told.
But there are some good clues.
But the signs are there, aren't they, Julian? Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be a bit worried. Yeah, absolutely. Because you want, you know, if this is the way he's going to treat the manufacturer, let's not forget that Ducati are the manufacturer that brought him into MotoGP. They give him a great opportunity, and he's had some good years with them.
Yes.
I think professionalism should take over your personal feelings.
As long as he's quick, they'll be fine.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if he's a rider's quick, you forgive him for being a bit of a git at times.
And they are quick at the moment. Another podium last time out, strong weekend. Is there a chance for another win? They've highlighted this one. When you speak to them, they looked at this circuit and said,
I think that's a no-brainer, isn't it? The Suzuki round here is going to be good.
The rider round Phillip Island can make the difference. It's what we've seen over the years, and it really has been forever, hasn't it, Julian?
This place, yes.
This place, the rider. I remember Troy Bayliss on a 250 Suzuki, which was horrendous as a wild card battling sort of
as a replacement.
As a replacement.
And
as a
he rode round the outside of Olivier Jacques at the Southern Loop in one memorable moment.
Yeah.
And Jacques, on full lean, did a big double take. Who the hell is that?
You're not supposed to do this. But that's what this track has always done.
So there's every chance Vinales. Even Aleix Espargaró showed some really good signs in Japan.
The last couple of races, Aleix's found something, to use the old cliche, but he really does appear to have found something that gives him a feel he's been missing.
We'll go on to that and him moving to Aprilia, but just a quick word on Cal Crutchlow, another fifth place for him, another top independent. He's cemented on that from what has been a shocking start. We keep saying it again and again, but his season keeps on getting better and better. So, quick question, why is he not riding the Repsol Honda this weekend and helping that team in the team's world championship? Why have they drafted in Nicky Hayden?
Because I would assume that it was deemed not worth upsetting Lucio Ceccanello's operation, which is working very well with Cal. As Cal himself said to us in Japan, I won't go any faster if I'm wearing orange.
Which actually, he won't. We know that.
Do you think?
Absolutely not. No one. But no, but he says it.
Yeah.
That's not. What do you like about
Cal?
He's a straight shooter.
Yeah.
So he tries his hardest, full stop.
And he's a straight shooter. He'll tell you how it is. I will not go any faster in orange. What that means is the bike he's on is a factory bike.
Yeah.
It's as good as it gets.
And he'll have factory people inside LCR. They'll be
exactly
coming across.
Cal tells you, they share all the data. He gets to see what Marc Marquez is doing. It would make no difference. If anything, he'd probably go worse on an orange bike.
While he gets used to new people and new systems.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think Neil speaks the truth here. There is, you know, no doubt.
Despite, though, people on Twitter and all that, it's not like he's on a really old bike.
No.
And
if he had a couple of tests and what have you to get used to the personnel and the way of working, having the extra support certainly would be useful, but not over one weekend. Life ain't that simple.
And instead, it's Nicky Hayden who's going to come in and replace Danny Pedrosa. That's one for the nostalgists among
I'm
us.
I'm one of them.
I am. I'm joining you because Nicky around here
held the record on the 800.
Yeah.
Not a Nicky Hayden motorcycle for a good few years. He stood on a rostrum for the first time here in a race where we went past Ukawa one lap and Seti Gibanau on the final lap, round the outside somewhere down by the hay shed. Places you don't normally go round the outside of somebody.
No, I don't know if this is Nicky's favourite track. If it's not, it's right up there, probably behind Laguna Seca, yeah, let's say.
Anti-clockwise. Bike's spinning up.
Yeah.
But he's come over from Jerez, from World Superbikes. He's ridden a bike once and actually didn't perform too badly, shall we say. Got a point on the Mark VDS machine. So that's, I suppose, something. He's seen the tyres again.
Yeah, and in the Teams Championship, let's not forget that Movistar Yamaha failed to score 1 point last weekend, and the Honda's got 26 because Ayama got 15th. So they've gapped them big time.
I want to make a quick mention. We talked about Aleix Espargaró before. He moves on to an Aprilia with Sam Lowes next year. Both Aprilias, yet again, inside the top 10. Álvaro Bautista, though, in seventh place. The gap between himself and the leader is coming down every single time.
And straight into Q2.
Yeah.
And fast all weekend. Mm. This is not one of those, oh, no, they've had a good race because both Yamaha riders crashed.
Yeah.
All weekend, both riders. And whenever it's both riders, that's when you know the bike is improving. It's not just, you know, one rider who's got confidence.
So what's it down to, do we think?
Well, when we spoke to Romano Albesiano, they had a new chassis a couple of rounds ago. I think it's a combination of a lot of small pieces all coming together and them understanding this bike properly.
It's real life. That's research and development, marginal gains. Yes, we've changed this, therefore we have to understand the effects on other systems. Ah, got that. Take the next step forward. I think Neil's absolutely right.
Speaking to Sam Lowes, as we were yesterday playing golf with him, that was good of him to pay for us, by the way. That was nice.
Thank you, Sam. Cheers,
yeah,
Sam.
Thanks, Sam. We owe you for that.
Glad you pay me to beat you.
But speaking to Sam, Sam said when he tested the bike, he said it didn't feel like the bike had a lot of engine braking. And he's give that feedback to them. And now they are running more engine braking. It's funny sometimes. Yeah. Not that Sam was trying to take credit at all.
No,
we were talking about lots of small things. And that's one of them.
It's probably feedback that came from the two very good riders they have on board that bike.
Look how upset Bradl was when he crashed and didn't make it into Q2. He threw a fit like he just lost the Grand Prix.
See, part of me is genuinely upset that both the riders aren't continuing in that team. I'm made up for Sam Lowes, obviously, that he's got the ride and he's going to do a great job on it. But what upsets me in this industry sometimes is when I see two riders do a really good job and they don't get rewarded for it. And I think that both Bradl and Bautista have done a stunning job. And they've not been rewarded for that. And I don't like to say that. Obviously, I'm biased for the riders. So.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see them here this weekend, won't it? Around a track where we talk about the rider making the difference. So I wonder what they're going to do. That'll be one to watch over the weekend,
absolutely,
won't it? Right, let's hear from another rider who's got a big interest here this weekend. Of course, he is Jack Miller, the home hope this weekend, who hopefully won't be speaking to Hodgie on the grid.
Well, first of all, Jack, welcome home. It must be so nice to come back to Australia where, you know, obviously you're constantly travelling. It's difficult for Australian riders, isn't it?
Definitely. You know, we live across the other side of a very, very big pond, that's for sure. It's a long way to travel and it's a long way to go racing, that's for sure. So, you know, we don't get to get home that often of the year, but it always is really, really nice when you do.
And tell us about your year, because it has been up and down. And I don't mean that, you know, I'm not joking. No. You've had some...
It is. It's a roller coaster.
Fantastic season. Obviously, the pinnacle being the win in Assen. We've seen you crash a bit. It's been all over the place, really. Tell us what's been going on.
Like you said, it's been a very up and down season. You know, I don't know really what to make of it at the moment because, I mean, it's still not over. You know, as I've seen this year, it can turn around in the blink of an eye. So, you know, we had that real strong point there. We had a great result in Assen, of course. It was unbelievable. But then Sachsenring as well was a really good one. And Austria was looking like it was going to be a really good one. And then, in the morning just got caught out by a cold tyre and just trying to prepare for the race. And, it's flipped my season upside down again. So, just fighting our way back from injury again. But hoping we can really turn it around this weekend here at Phillip Island, that's for sure.
We have to talk about the Phillip Island circuit, don't we, and its layout. And it does seem to create always some of the best racing we get. Last year definitely was a Billy Belter of a race, wasn't it?
It was last year's race was the best race of the season. And then you go around the paddock talking to people, like, probably one of the best MotoGP races in 5 years?
At least 5 years.
Yeah, you're probably looking at 2009, aren't you? No, back to Catalunya, that kind of races around that time.
That was a last lap, not a last year was from start to finish.
And of course it started off the rumours of what the Italians called the biscotto, the
biscotto.
Working together.
Stop talking about food.
So the biscotto, which was the teaming up of Marquez and Lorenzo's to stop Rossi winning the title. Let's not forget Marquez won the race, though. So and it was a great scrap, wasn't it? Iannone in there as well, who's not here, unfortunately. Are we going to get something similar this weekend?
Well, I can't see why not. You know, if it's a consistent weather on race day,
Can Jack be in it?
No, I don't think so. No. I mean, I think Jack will have a good weekend if he can stay on. Mm. You know, he's been prone to
a good,
crashes,
solid top 10 finish for Jack.
Would be amazing.
Would be really, really good for him going to the last two races of the year.
Why is Phillip Island such a great circuit then?
Great question. We're sat now in the commentary box. I'm looking at a map of the track, which is on one of our monitors, and you look at it, and the nature of the track, for people at home, if you can be bothered to do this, just Google the Phillip Island track and have a look at the shape of it, and it looks like no other track. There's no sharp corners. It's got lots of flowy sections. Turn four...
It's natural, isn't
it? It's natural. Like, if you look at turn one, for example, it's so fast, but there's lots of lines through this track.
Yeah. How much of the lap is a bike actually upright for here?
Well,
hardly at all. No, down the front straight.
It is the little bit on that straight, and the rest, you've got some sort of lean angle.
And speed.
Like I say, the riding can make a difference around here. It's a very difficult puzzle, is Phillip Island, and you're constantly trying to change a line or, you know, you're trying to solve the puzzle, find the grip. It's just stunning. I loved it. Obviously, it's so picturesque as well.
Yeah, I always love watching Casey Stoner around here. I have to say, however much you go back to it, but turn three round here, it's called the Stoner Corner, and there's no better reason, demonstration of why accelerating hard with a bike stepping out, going through up towards the Honda.
On his last trip here, he was taking, what, half a second out of this field.
On the first split.
On the first split. That corner.
Yeah, but
which defies belief.
And he explained how he did it. He basically was shutting the throttle off earlier than the other riders and then getting back on it. And he was on the throttle at the point where riders were shutting the throttle off. It's such a talent. And he was doing that to take the weight off the front so he didn't lose the front and slide it all this. Literally, when
he
we talk about...
He was treating it as a three-figure speedway bench.
He really was. We talk about dirt tracking these bikes and all that, but he was doing it... He just took it to that next level. It was breathtaking to watch.
Quite unbelievable.
And it's going to be great for some of the riders who are taking part as substitutes. Nicky Hayden, we mentioned before. Hector Barber again for Andrea Iannone, but none more so. Big fairy tale. Mike Jones, again in for Hector Barber. It's a bit of a fairy tale, isn't
I'm
it?
I'm loving
Mike Jones' story.
I'm loving
He didn't do a bad job in Japan.
He did absolutely as well as anybody could expect. Yeah. Quickest every session. Team impressed. Didn't deck it once in the weekend. What more could you ask?
No, I know. And I was really concerned, as we all were, really, when it was announced that he was going to fill
in. I think justly, though.
I thought, wow, this is a rider I've never heard of. He finished fifth in the Australian Superbike Championship this year. I thought, I hope this doesn't go horribly wrong. And I was FP1, the first practice session, I was watching his times, and he was 15 seconds off the pace for quite a while, and I thought, this is going to be awful. And for him to work from that to get it with underneath 3.5 seconds at one point was
and,
very, very impressive.
You spoke to him on the grid. He seems like a very down-to-earth, level-headed
kid. Can I say
kid.
One of the best lines of the year from Mr. Hodgson as he walked up to Mike Jones on the grid and said, have a look behind you. That's a factory Honda. Was, for me, that's the gold medal for the year.
And he gets the big prize, doesn't he, of riding an Australian Grand Prix.
Thoroughly deserved.
That's what he's got. That's the way of putting it, Gav. He's almost got the prize now of the hard work he put in Japan.
Yep.
It is thoroughly deserved. Well, and we're all excited to see how he gets on.
The professional work he put in Japan. You know, he's a protege of Troy Bayliss's, so perhaps we shouldn't be surprised.
No.
But you looked at him in like Clubman leathers and helmet, and there's this patch on the leathers, mixed leather fix service. You know you're dealing with a man scrabbling for the odd quid, don't you, when he's got that sort of advert on his leathers.
Yeah, I think his goal this weekend will be to try to not get lapped. He did just get lapped at the end. It didn't show on the monitor, which was a shame. The reason he got lapped, I know why he got lapped, was when Hector Barber had crashed, when he got back on the track, Hector came past him and he lost about 5 seconds on that lap. I think he was conscious of not getting in anyone's way, I think. So he backed right off, and if he had not backed off, I was looking at the times, he wouldn't have got lapped.
Is he riding in the Australian Superbikes this weekend as well? One to watch out. He might be doubling up.
I'm guessing he will be.
You think he has to be, because that's his main bread and butter, isn't it? I remember Chas Davis doing that once at Laguna Seca when he was riding in the AMA and jumping on the Pramac bike in between events. He was exhausted by the end of the weekend, shall we say.
Yeah, remember how Chas did that? I know we're going off on one here, but Chas did unbelievable that weekend, didn't he? On the Danton Ducati.
Absolutely.
whatever it was.
Of not fond memory.
Yeah, yeah, he was right up there.
Right, let's move on after we've covered MotoGP and talk about Moto2 with Joan Zarco now, a 21-point lead in the championship, three rounds to go. Alex Rins crashed out on the first lap. We'll talk about that in a second. Sam Lowes also went down. So is the title his? 21 points, three races. It's still not over, is it?
It's not over, but you would be hard-pushed to invest in anybody else.
The big girl is warming up her vocal cords as we speak.
Yes, she's warming up in the dressing room, and I feel we're going to see the first ever retention of the Moto2 title.
Is that what you think as well?
Yeah.
Or is there a chance for this to get into Johan's head again? Because we have seen that in the past. Not last year, we'll point out. But this year, there have been a few
worries
signs. About
him. Do you know what's so good about him, Johan Zarco? And Japan was a great example. He got a little bit bullied, a bit duffed up on that first lap. And then he watched all the inexperienced people make some mistakes around him. And then he got his head down. He got his tyres up to temperature on a track that was difficult. Like I said before, Japan was not running. The track itself was sort of almost inconsistent with its grip. He got a lovely feeling and he worked hard. And he caught Tom Lutie up. He didn't have to risk going for the win.
He pressed for a short while, didn't he? And they decided, nope, Tom's got this. I'll
he
have
did.
20
to be
points.
Fair, I'll give Tom some credit there. He actually reacted. His lap times dropped. He was in a comfortable position.
And I'm a Tom Lutie fan. I'll always give Tom Lutie credit.
So I will say about Tom at the moment, he's in a really rich vein of form and consistency, which is rare for
best season
for
ages.
So could he still be a dark horse? I know he's 43 points behind. Is that the bridge too far?
I think it's way too far. But he is having his best season since he won the World Championship in 2005.
Yep.
Yeah, on the 1-2-5.
Yeah,
so, all credit to him. It's just that all that little bit too late.
Of course, Zarco would have to leave this race with a 50-point advantage in the championship, so he can't win the championship here in Australia this weekend. So what about Alex Rins? What does he do? Where does he go from here? What went on in Japan?
Great question, because what went on in Aragon as well the round before, he was nowhere all through practice, finished about 7th or 8th in the race.
That's a better question, if you'll
I'm totally confused. Yes, he was carrying a slight injury in Japan when he crashed on Friday in Friday afternoon's practice, but he was way off the pace before then. He was 21st fastest in FP1. What on earth, Julian, what's going on there?
And was he doing on that first lap?
That's a fair point.
That's another good point. Yeah, I honestly don't know. It's if you describe this behaviour to me, I said, oh, that Zarco flipping his lid again. It ain't. It's Rins, who I thought was an Iceman.
Hmm. Yeah, Mr. Cool, Mr. Consistent. But no, the wheels have fallen off.
Sam Lowes, we know, he had to win, didn't he? He was going all that. Bit of early exuberance, perhaps, from Sam.
It was not a San Marino horrible display. It was a man who knew his only chance was to push and win and hope the cards fell in his direction.
And he said to us yesterday when we were playing golf, he just said, I probably didn't respect the full tank. So it was early on, was it lap two or three?
Yeah.
And he said, I should have just... But he's still... I know we're all still learning, but, you know, he's still learning.
But he had, you know, his only chance for the championship was to push and win.
And he was trying to duff up around that point, Zarco.
Yeah.
And we've seen in those situations, when Zarco gets duffed up, it can take him five laps to recover.
Yeah.
So he was doing the right thing, really, trying to bully the man who was leading the championship.
Yeah. So I can't, you know, whereas Sam, I will criticise as long as you like for his riding in San Marino.
Yeah.
I refuse to have a go at him about Japan.
Yeah, me too.
And just talking of Moto2, we have another rider for the grid next year, and it's Johnny Hernandez, who's dropping down from MotoGP. I don't know, is it a case of, we know that he's been replaced by Carol Abraham in MotoGP next year. Probably the less said about that, the better, because we know where pretty much that has come from. Johnny dropping to Moto2, that's exciting, isn't it? He's on the AGR.
Yeah, really exciting. I just can't get the thought out of my mind. I'm just frustrated about the situation.
Does he deserve to keep his ride, though?
Of course he did. No, he did. He did. He deserved to keep his ride. He's not finished out and out last in any races, I don't think.
It's just he had a worse season than last year.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, he has been very inconsistent. Yeah. I speak to Frankie Carcetti, his electronics engineer, and he said, honestly, Neil, we've had lots of problems in the team. There's been lots of mistakes from our side.
Mm.
So, you know, back him up a little bit as well.
I will say something, though. Johnny Hernandez on a Moto2 bike is something to behold.
It will suit his natural way he rides a motorcycle, which is
sideways.
Supermoto, backing it in, it should suit him. Do you know what? Let's hope he goes down to Moto2 and that's a cracking season.
World
and
champion and comes back again.
How nice would that be?
Yeah. And he's well capable of being world champion on a Moto2 bike. Well capable.
Yeah, we'll see how he gets on next year. As we say, Carol Abraham to replace him at the Aspar team alongside Alvaro Bautista. So the MotoGP grid is finally complete for 2017. And just finally, we've got to move on to Moto3. Enea Bastianini finally winning, meaning that Neil Hodgson is £5 lighter out of his ample wallet this weekend. So we think about 2016, but that's gone. 2017, is Enea the favourite now?
Yeah, you would have to say that. Yeah.
Who isn't moving up? Canet and Mir are not moving up.
And also Bulliger.
Oh, actually,
he's staying
around.
Di Gian Antonio and Romano Fanati coming back next year.
We don't know who Valentino's second Moto 2 rider will be next year yet. Because I have a sneaky feeling that Bulliger's in the running for that because he's such a tall kid.
Yeah, I'm unaware of that. But you would have to say that Bastianini, he must be favourite for the title for next year with his experience.
But there's a lot of people on that bookies chart.
And he's moving teams.
Yeah, he's moving to Jorge Navarro's bike. So he'll be teammates with Aaron Canet next year.
That's a quick team, isn't it?
Yeah. You got to be pleased for him, though, with that run of podiums that he had in succession. Mm.
Devastated I was. It cost me £5. No, I was pleased. Actually, no, I was frustrated because we did that little bet going on, me and Keith. But I really like Enea, one of the good guys. His English isn't fantastic, but he's one of the cheeky little chappies in the paddock. And he's a great rider, and I can't believe that's only his second ever GP win, because his battle for, I don't know, what seems like 1,000 GP wins over the last 3 years.
What I've always liked about him, that as an Italian, his favourite rider was Casey Stoner. That's one of the things that's always stood out for me. He didn't idolise Valentino Rossi as all these other kids. I remember him being here and stood down pit lane and him coming up and saying, would you mind introducing me to Casey Stoner? Because he'd just seen me chatting to Casey. And I goes, yeah, of course. Came over. Casey was obviously enthralled by meeting this young Moto3 kid. So, all the best to Enea Bastianini for next year, should I say, but also this weekend, because, Moto3 around the Phillip Island circuit. It's a stick a pin in it stuff.
Well, it is. I've got a rookie feeling. I think because the rookie boys are really at it in the championship with Bulliger, Mir and Di Gian Antonio. I've got a feeling one of the rookies is going to pull one out.
What a nice thought.
Yeah. That's wishful thinking. I'd just like to see one of them.
I can see Gian Antonio.
As kids, well, you can imagine them.
I can see Bulliger. Yes, I can, Neil. All of them. You're right.
Mir actually did his first Grand Prix here last year. He was filling in for somebody.
In the Leopard team, wasn't he? Yeah. For Vasquez, was it?
But he went down with...
Oh, no, one of them.
He crashed out early on with John McPhee. Mm. So he has been here before. So that will help.
Interesting one to watch over the weekend as well. Right, we look forward to a great weekend here for the Australian Grand Prix. Thanks, Julian. Cheers, Neil, as well. Make sure you download the review podcast following the race here at Phillip Island. Remember, of course, join us for every single session live this weekend on BT Sport 2.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.